Hope we're not going to run a race because I'll sit and watch. Good morning, everyone. Good to see your smiling faces. It's been a while since we've been here. A few weeks ago, we had planned to come and something else came up, so we didn't. Just to hear Brother Kofer. You remember him, don't you? Yeah, he's a good guy. Even if his wife wasn't sitting here, I'd tell you, because she knows the truth. But no, really, he's been such inspiration. I've always marveled at his knowledge and the way that the Lord uses him to present the gospel. In a way that I can understand it. And Lord knows it. The gray hair is pulling all the brains out too, so. But at least I got hair. My dad used to make fun of me. He said, "Well, son, your hair's turning gray." And I said, "Well, Dad, at least it's not turning loose." So his forehead was about here. I've been thinking about Dad today. 5 years ago today, Dad passed away. Went to heaven to be with Mom. But you know, I don't think, as much as he loved Mom, I know exactly who he wanted to see first. That was his Jesus. He took me and my brother to church, and when he couldn't and was working, Mom would. We spent some Sundays without Dad because he was working, and not by choice, but he had to. But I'm sure glad that they did take me to church. To church. You ever thought about that? We said, this morning we're going to church. That's not right. We're going to the church the building where the church meets. You're the church. The body. This building could burn to the ground. And Elkton Baptist Church would still live on. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to call your attention to some scriptures this morning. I'll try not to keep you long, just a couple hours is all. And I want to begin the reading in the 22nd. Now, I'm doing exactly what I always said preachers do, and by the time I tell you what verse and where, and then tell you what book. So, the book of John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. That's John, the book of John, St. John, as it says here. Looking into the 10th chapter, which has a lot of things going on in it, but we're just going to look at one little piece. You know, and before there where I read at, it's talking about the sheep. You know, Jesus being the shepherd. I got to tell you this. I saw a video of a gentleman. They were over in, I don't know if it was Italy or someplace, and the gentleman had a bunch of sheep. He'd had them since they were born. So to prove a point, he had his children and his neighbors call the sheep. They didn't move. They were still out there. They weren't the shepherd. They weren't the one in charge. But as soon as that man went to the fence and called them once, here they all came. I'm going to read to you here in a minute about knowing the voice of Jesus. Let's look at verse 22 and kind of get the picture of what's going on here, because it says, as it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. So let's get a picture of that. It's cold, it's winter time, and it's during a feast. Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. I said unto you, here we go, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let that sink in. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's why I believe in eternal security, because time and time again, Jesus, he talks about how that we belong to him, he doesn't unbelong to him, and then belong to him again. He just says here that no man can pluck them out of my hand, including myself, my own sins, my own disappointment towards Jesus, that he had disappointed in me. Yet he still loves me. I can't understand that fully. So verse 30, I want you to think about this for a minute. I and my Father are one. Well, see, it's my reading right there. That's chapter 10 of John, verse 22 through verse 30. I want to talk about this for a moment first. I and my Father are one. Going on 52 years ago, I married a woman, a girl then. We were just kids. And they said, we're united in marriage to be one, but we're not one like this. She's got her ideas and I've got mine. And, sometimes it doesn't, they don't coincide with each other. They, not that we argue or anything. Lightning's going to hit. The thing is, we're as much as one as we can be. But Jesus and God and the Spirit are all one. Hard to understand that, really. I mean, you may be able to, but this little... Paul Bryson said one time that his brain was 2 inches by nothing, and I understand that. I don't understand three entities being one, yet three, yet one. I don't. It's because they don't live in time, space, and matter as we do. They live in eternity. But he wants us to know that him and his Father are one. So the things that Jesus says, as the old boy says, you can take them as gospel. We can understand that whatever Jesus says is God saying it. When I pray, if I say, oh God, or if I say Jesus, or Holy Spirit, take my prayer and lift it up, I'm talking to the same person. I was going to say guy, but that's kind of a putting him down a little bit. So, he said that, of course, he's first kind of scolding them in this, that they didn't believe him. But he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When you go to follow somebody, you don't walk out in front of them. I had my children when they were small, and I'll say, come and follow Daddy, and they'd run off way down there someplace, sometime towards the street. And of course, you had to get their attention, and the only way you knew how, because they didn't want to go on the street, but they would just take off. They wouldn't follow me. Same thing with me and my father and mother. They would say, follow me wherever. And as a small child, I'd take off running, me and my brother Dennis, and we would get in trouble. But if we could understand that this God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, motivated by one, thoughts are one, their motivation for us to serve them is one. There's no difference when I talk to God, Jesus, or the Holy through the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to the triune Godhead. And how do we know this? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That was God created. And God said, that's the Word, because in John 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. See, there's three there. I even like it one that at the end of that, when he said, let us make man, down towards the end of that chapter, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. God must have a head, he must have arms, he must have legs. But he's a spirit, because the Bible said God is a spirit. Him that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have you got all that figured out? I started preaching the gospel back in the late 70s. I got up one Sunday morning, the Lord, Sheila was with child, with our oldest. And we were sitting there at True Hope Baptist Church, and I looked over, because God wanted me to get up and tell it. And it's just like, again, not following him, saying, you got another thing coming. I'm not going to do that. Well, think what I'd have to do. But he allowed me to look over, and he said, if you don't tell us today. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew who it was. For my sheep shall know my voice. If you don't tell it today, you'll never see that child. You know, God's got a way of waking us up. He's got a way of telling us what we need to do. Even if I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm not, when I say that, I'm not following him. When I argue with God, I'm not following him. When I say, I've got a better idea, God. I'm smarter than that. I'm not following God. My sheep shall know my voice. I knew who that was that day that told me to stand up there at True Road Church and tell them people that God had called me to preach. I wasn't about to do that. Guess who won? Before I knew it, I was to my feet, told them what God had done. I'd carried that for a long time. Jesus says, follow. We need to follow him. So, and you could tell how rebellious that this old man is. And I don't mean to do that. It bothers me that I do things that are not right, because I do know that it bothers Jesus and it bothers God and it bothers the Holy Spirit, and they're disappointed in me. When God's disappointed, oh, woe is me. But yet he still loves me. I knew my dad loved me. I didn't know it when he was whipping me, but I knew it. My dad never did say, I love you, Terry. Never said that. But his actions spoke much louder than those words. My Jesus does tell me that he loves me from time to time. I feel it in my heart. I hear it in my ears. I don't hear it in these fleshly ears, but in my spiritual ears, I hear him tell me, I love you, son. Follow me. My sheep know my voice. Do you know the voice of God? Do you know when he talks to you? If you're in any doubt, the Bible says to try the spirits. He doesn't make him mad if you say, is that you, God? And he'll show you. After I was saved on that, I believe it was a Thursday night, the next day I got up, and it was like one of those weekends where we had Thursday, Friday, and off out of school, because it was in October of 65. I woke up that next morning, that night before. I tell you what, I could have just floated on into heaven when I got saved. I mean, I didn't shout, I didn't sing, I didn't do anything like that, like some people do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I saw Melissa used to be Scroggins get saved and shout all over Calvary. Just a little girl. My sheep know my voice. Let's go a little further here. I give them eternal life. Can you imagine that? You know, when I watched my mom die, I watched my dad die, I've watched a lot of people, because I'm in the ministry and I'll be at the hospital when people pass away, I've seen a lot of people go. When mom died, it crushed my heart. When dad died, it crushed my heart. But the thing is that they had eternal life, and I was so happy inside that I knew that when I watched my dad's eyes close and he stopped breathing, you know, his heart still beat for 20 more minutes after he died. That's kind of strange. I made a joke with the nurse when he was in there, and I said, his heart's still beating, but he's gone. And he said, well, by golly, yes. I said, well, he was a Marine. They don't die. They just kind of fade away. Yeah, I'm a son of a Marine. I'm proud of that. I really am. That has nothing to do with heaven. But my dad helped to protect this nation from the evil of communism during Korea War. Anyway, my Father, which, I'll be back up, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, Terry, you just told me that you saw your dad pass away. You saw your mom pass away. Yeah, but they weren't gone. I have a daughter named Tammy. She lives very close to us. We were there after Mom had passed away, and her body is still there. And Tammy's sitting down where that we were when she was struggling to live. And I was there was a window there and a ledge, and I was sitting there, and me and Tammy was talking. Mom and her, it was pitiful to see her like that, but I knew that wasn't her no more. And she said, Daddy, do you think Grandma shouted all the way to heaven? I said, if she had the ability to, she did. Yeah. Why? Because she had eternal life. One day when she was 19 years old, and we lived over on Kerr Street in Springfield, and I was laying in bed, I was just a baby. Can you imagine that? I'm as big as I am. And she sought the Lord right there. The revival was going on at True Hope, and she had been seeking the Lord at church. But that morning, she was laying in bed praying to God, and He saved her right there on Kerr Street. Oh, you mean you don't have to be in church to be saved? No. My brother was saved at home underneath the dining room table. My grandpa Midcalf, I don't know if you know any of the Midcalfs from Dallas County, I didn't too many left. He was saved out in the field. There was a guy named, last name was Poole. He was a preacher down in Polk County. He was saved in the Huckleberry Patch in northern Arkansas. You see, that's where he was saved. Well, actually, he was saved right here. And for those of you that might be watching on YouTube, do you have that time and place? I don't know who's going to see it. I don't know. We never know. I've been on TV preaching. I've been on YouTube. I've been on Facebook, all these different places. Don't know who hears it. The only thing I know is that he said to preach the word about this eternal life that I can give to them. You can be in a motel room someplace in wherever. It doesn't even have to be the United States. You could be at that little hotel down the road from my cousin's house in Teutokirchdorf, Germany. And you can be watching YouTube and watching me or the pastor here talk about Jesus and how that He can save you. And you can say, well, that's only for Americans. No, He come to seek and save that which was lost. He don't care who you are, where you are, what color you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how good looking you are, or how ugly you are. He'll save your soul if you go to Him. Because, He says, I give you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall they any man pluck thee out of my hand. So once you got her, you got her. Nobody can take it away from you. Not even me. Yeah, I've done things wrong, even since I've been saved. I was 10 years old. That's been a long time ago. Because right now, I'm 30 years old, and, you know. I and my Father are one. They are united together. They're not like me and my wife. Because one day I'll die or she'll die, or we'll both die at the same time. We will no longer be husband and wife. You say, really? That's right. We only do that here. When I get over there, I'll be part of a bride. The bride of Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know that you've got that salvation down there, that no matter what comes your way, neither health or sickness or famine or anything cannot take you out of the hand of Jesus. You belong to Him once you've been saved. Your name is written in a book. How do you know that, Terry? The Bible says, calls it the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote my name down there a long time ago, but the thing is, to Him, it was not a long time ago, because He doesn't live in time. He being God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He just can't pluck me out. Aren't you glad? You know, I was thinking, coming over here, I was thinking, you know, it's a good day. I'm not like Worf on Star Trek, you know. It's a good day to die. Well, it'd be fine with me. When I leave the house, she always says, well, don't wreck it. You know where she got that from? She got that from me. I always would tell her that. I'd quit telling her that. But even if I die today, if you hear word of, like, Brother Wayne, Wade, yeah. And that I passed away, that I had a wreck, that I've died, that I've went on. I just say, oh, I know where he went. Oh, you'll probably hear about a funeral or a graveside service, or they'll just maybe just throw him in the lake. I really don't care. You know why I don't care? Because this body will mean nothing to me. Yes, there'll come a day. The Bible says that Jesus shall return with all the holy angels and the souls of the saints that have died, and our bodies shall be reunited. I remember standing out to my grandparents' grave over here at Schofield, over in far eastern Polk County. I thought, well, what would it be like if I was standing here and Jesus comes back? And these graves come open, because it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I see them come out of that grave, Grandma and Grandpa. An uncle I never did know, because he died at birth. Another uncle I never did know, he died a few days after birth. My mom and dad come out of that grave. But that old body, it won't matter. You say, well, what about those that are cast in the sea? That's God's business. He'll bring it together and He'll change that body. In the moment, in a twinkling of eye. You know how fast a twinkling is? Like that. It's just, and we'll be changed. And we'll be likened unto Him. This back will not hurt no more, because I won't have this back anymore. I'll have a new body. The song goes, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. And that's the truth, because in that new life, I will be able to say, sin has no more hold on me. While I live here, I'm tempted left and right. Satan tries his best to defeat me. But the end result will be I can turn to the devil and say, your days are numbered. You can't get my soul. You can't pluck me out of Jesus' hand. And thank God in heaven that one day I'll not even have to deal with you anymore. Why? Because Jesus loved me. That's the only reason, because Jesus loves me. I am the one that believes, and I had a real good friend. We're still real good friends, but we don't see it eye to eye over in the city of Halfway or thereabouts, that I believe that while Jesus was on the cross, he thought of me. He said, well, how could that be? That's been over 2,000 years ago. I believe that Jesus thought of me because when he was dying and when he said, it is finished, what did he finish? He finished salvation for me and for you. Now, we will leave this place pretty soon and we'll go back into the world. Satan will be out there waiting. And if he can't defeat you, but remember, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And he's your best friend. I have friends here. I think Paul's my friend. I don't know about Shirley, but I think Paul's my friend. I'm just kidding. Stan here, me and Stan go way back. And I think we're friends. I think we're friends. You don't know me that well, and I don't know you that well, but I think because of church, because of Jesus, we're friends. But I could fail you. You could say, Terry, can you come and help me? And I've got an appointment at 10. I just can't make it. If I go to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you help me? He's right there. He hears, he listens, and I hear his voice. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And what's light? His burden is light. All right, in conclusion here, I don't know how long I've been up here, it doesn't matter. Let's review a little bit of this. I think it's interesting. Where Jesus was, is with the Jews. It was on the feast of dedication. It was wintertime in the temple and out on Solomon's porch. The Jews came around him and they started trying to trip him up. How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And boy, he did. He said, I told you. In other words, I've already told you. I've already told you. I've already explained it to you. But here, let me tell you again. That's why we go to church. We know the gospel. I do. I've heard it for all my life and preached in several different places in Missouri and Kansas and California, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, also Georgia, Florida. Well, I'm like Hank Snow. I've been everywhere. In Ghana, I tell you, that was experience. As Sister Shirley, they went to Jamaica, these third world countries. When you get back home, you thank God for everything you got. I saw a man there was on a board, and they had taken... I think there's enough here old enough to remember the roller skates or had metal wheels. And he took them off and put them on the bottom of the board. And his legs were all messed up. And he was going down the street like that, begging for food. Here we just had come from a good lunch that Brother Samuel's wife had fixed for us. But anyway, I'm getting off track. I give thee eternal life. Listen in that. He has given you eternal life. If you don't see another sunshine, if this is the last day that you live, like Wade, he had a last day. 5 years ago, I watched my dad take his last breath. It's something that I have never done before or done since. As I said, my dad was a Marine, and when he died, I stood at the foot of his bed and I saluted him. Why? Because he was better than your dad? No. But he was my dad. And I miss him. But he's with our Heavenly Father. You notice I said our? Your dad's Heavenly Father too. I and my Father are one. Remember that. I may ask you the next time I show up here for church. Anybody remember what I preached on last time I was here? I'm done. I do want to say this. When I used to teach software, and at the end of the class had a deal they filled out of how I did, I often wondered what it would be like if they did that at church. Oh, this is not good. Of course, we got to see him right after they did it. I'm done preaching. I taught a class on something called Crystal Reports. It's a database program. I don't think they make it anymore. I didn't know a thing about it. And on Tuesday, my instructor, my boss, said, "Here, teach that Thursday." And boy, it's an awful class. I had no idea what I was doing. And I got a lot of bad marks. A lot of bad marks. And I told him, I said, "This isn't going to go good. You didn't give me enough time to learn it. I mean, a database program, you're supposed to know." But the thing was, the next time, they had them all come back on a freebie. And I flew through that. Why? Because I had the knowledge. If we have the knowledge, we can teach others this wonderful gospel. Do you have a neighbor that you'd like to see saved? Brother Terry, I just haven't had the opportunity to invite him to Elkton Baptist Church. I just haven't had the opportunity. Are you breathing? Are you walking? Does your phone work? We all got these things now. Just give them a call. Say, "Hey, you know, we're having one of your special services. We're having this service and we'd like for you to come. If you've got time, if you need a ride, I'll come by and pick you up." I can't hush today. I don't know if that's good or bad.